I think the best way to start, remembering that we're going to take a break in about 15 minutes, that's just about the right amount of time to start. It might be most interesting to begin all this by asking the really big question and getting a sense of what various of you would want to say in order to provide some kind of answer to it. Now, in order for this to work out right, I'm not asking you to say what you think is the acceptable answer to some authority or other, a member of a philosophy department or a psychologist or something else. I'm asking you to say what you think, if you think anything at all about it, is the way to begin to discuss the question. And the question I'm putting on the table is, basically, what do you think knowledge is, and how do we come by it? That is, what is going on in this business of human beings claiming to have knowledge on various occasions, each of us do, and just how that comes about? How does it come about that we not only claim to have knowledge, but experience ourselves as having knowledge and talk about knowing things? Now, I don't want to lead you on and suggest this or that way of approaching it. I'd rather see sort of what happens. See what kinds of things you think are relevant to dealing with that. Sort of vague and maybe even a bit daft. Maybe it's a little crazy to ask a question like that. What is knowledge, or how is it that human beings act like they have it and experience each of us, experience ourselves as having it? But I think a few interesting things will come up if we just talk about that for a few minutes. So what's going on when you know something? And feel free, you're not being asked to give a right answer or even find how to say it in two sentences. The right thing to say at this point might be to ask another question. So I'm not ruling that out. And the question might have to be refined. It might have to be asked more carefully. All right. Well, what could somebody mean? What's a plausible thing to mean? Maybe I'm not sure. Maybe that's why I'm asking. Maybe I'm not sure. In other words, if I knew what I meant by it, maybe I wouldn't ask what's going on when I think I have it. Or what's going on when this creature seems to have it or says it has it. Yeah? Well, maybe. You tell me why it might be. You're not committing yourself, why might it be?
If you draw that distinction, then knowledge can be seen as a collection of data, whereas wisdom can be seen as implementing that data in a responsible way.
Does wisdom mean know-how? Is that what you mean? Know-how? I know how to? How to do this?
A very strong element of morality.
Morality? Is that a kind of knowledge? Maybe, maybe not. What's data? Well, I'm looking at you, but it's a question. It's the question provoked by what you said.
Bits of information that are collected
from the senses.
The senses.
Something you can perceive with your senses obviously somehow relates to knowledge. You can't perceive it with your senses in some way. I don't know how it can become knowledge.
You have to remember it. You've got to be asked to remember it to become knowledge.
I guess so. Yeah.
So you lay it down in your brain somehow. You can retrieve it.
Clarify it to any situation which would be the wrong how.
Okay.
You have to interpret it that you can just think about it and keep it in your head.
Well, what's, okay, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on at once all of a sudden. Yeah?
I think when we talk about knowledge, we talk about philosophers, what we mean is that something which we believe to be true, we have justified belief in that being true.
Ah.
Criterion knowledge, so to speak, true.
So you want to make a distinction between perhaps knowledge and opinion?
Knowledge and your belief, or knowledge and belief.
Okay. Pardon me? Oh. Okay, well, then it's knowledge rather than you wanted to use the term mere belief.
Just belief, not mere
belief. Opinion. He's suggesting there might be a difference between justified belief and plain old belief. And you're saying, well, yeah, there's beliefs that are somehow facts.
Well, how are they facts? Then? I mean, isn't that a question? How do we justify them? What are the truth conditions?
Okay. What is it to have a fact? All right, well, what do you want to say about that? Do you think you could characterize the difference between having a fact and having an opinion?
To say something is a fact, yeah. It sounds like it assumes that it's true.
Oh, I guess so.
That it's a fact, it's true, then.
Okay.
I guess we get back to how do we know it's true.
So it corresponds to something that we
know. Okay, real. Sounds like real is important here. Mm-hmm. Really, real, realistic. What? Yeah, go ahead.
Knowledge has to be based on observation.
Okay, so now we're back to the senses and perception and what is it?
Knowledge isn't necessarily true.
Well, now that's the problem he was having. He was saying, wait a second, if it's not true or if it's not justified belief, then maybe we shouldn't be allowed to call it knowledge. Right? There's knowledge and then there's belief, and we ought to distinguish these. That's interesting. That's right.
That's and different from knowing something is false. It's knowing it's a true statement to say, I know that this is not true.
You could know something that's not true, and yet it would be important to know it, and it might even be irrelevant that it's not true. I mean, I just thought of an example that I've heard. This is not my example, but when Captain Cook came to the Hawaiian Islands, it was in fact important for him and the crew to know, although they didn't, it would have helped if they did, to know who the Hawaiians thought they were. The Hawaiians know nothing about the projects of the British Admiralty, so they don't know anything about who are these. Who is this? Now, in the Hawaiian pantheon, apparently, there is a fairly minor god who went away a long time ago and was supposedly going to come back. Now, maybe that's who this is, but maybe not. So you treat these characters with some circumspection. I mean, it might be the returning god. On the other hand, it might not. But there's nobody else it could be. I mean, if it's not that, then we don't know what's going on. Now, that's the kind of situation. I mean, that's a kind of interesting story. I'm not alert enough, I guess, at the moment to think of another example. There's zillions of them. It's the kind of, yeah?
doesn't necessarily have to exist.
Sorry.
Is there a difference between fantasy and knowledge?
Fantasy, myth, knowledge.
I think knowledge has to have some kind of basis.
Yeah. No, I know. The language that hangs around all this is justified or true or somehow with foundations, right? Based on founded. But the example I was thinking of, and this is true in lots of social situations, isn't it? Where it is important for you to know how you're being regarded, even if it's wrong in your view. Right?
Even your example of Cesaro, didn't know how he was being regarded.
It helped. That's right. It gave him quite a bit of power, in fact. Right. Somebody new appears at UBC, and you don't know if it's the new president or not. It might be. So you are circumspect about it. This might be the new president. Although in this situation, it could indeed be any number of people, and maybe it doesn't matter much. But just in case it is.
Can we also start discussing paradigmatic?
Maybe. Depends what that is.
Well, for instance, if you're looking at a Newtonian worldview, for instance, and the conviction that Newtonian physics is correct, and then you go into an Augustinian worldview, which renders some of Newtonian physics obsolete, a different paradigm of knowledge would not have been possible to people who
are
only aware of
the concept. Okay. Well, we'll find, part of what we're here to do is to find out what paradigms are. But why don't we put it this way? You're suggesting a kind of qualification on this term, knowledge within a conceptual system.
Yeah. Knowledge is contingent. I think that's what the 20th century rhetoricians are saying too.
So are we saying then that at least not with the you've got the knowledge at one point in time is going to be knowledge at a different point from some point from we could look at it as the fantasy or myth?
Well, it depends on how we're defining knowledge. It depends on how you're defining knowledge. If you're defining knowledge as societal certitude, then that's true.
Okay, sorry, go ahead, then.
It seems often, but often in different directions.
Maybe yeah.
If we just ask, what is it to know something? And if we have an idea of what it is to know something, then we can go and say, well, if we know what it is to know something, then what is knowledge?
Well, that's sort of where I was starting us out. We're heading in the direction of what's it like to know you know.
But if we're asking questions about knowledge, that would be some of the things we're getting off on that might be handled if we were able to talk about what it is to know something.
All right, well, shoot.
Some of the things I talked about mentioned at the beginning, this idea of true
belief,
justified belief.
Right.
If we were to accept some of those things, then we wouldn't be left with the questions as to can knowledge be false or can it change with time.
Oh, okay.
Or is it just not specified well enough? Truth, I think, is a position on truth.
Okay, all right.
But we might not
have. Well, yeah, are you suggesting a platonic notion of free will?
I'm not suggesting anything.
there's a difference between what a concept explicitly recognizes and the framework in which it exists. A stop sign just says stop, mm-hmm. although it is relative to our social system that it actually works in the way that it does.
Yes.
Similarly, our notion of knowledge doesn't say knowledge relative to a conceptual scheme, but if we analyze how we know how people, the situations in which people claim they know things, then we can fit it within a conceptual scheme.
So you're saying we're the first situations in which we say we know, have to know things before
that's
we say
right.
what it is to know?
Well, that's right, because the concept itself presumes
that what you're
trying to know. Yes, it presumes that, and if you're going to find what these presumptions consist in, then you have to stand outside of that.
But it still doesn't help us with what it is to know.
Well, in order, yes, it does help us, because in order, if you look at the concept knowledge by itself, you gave what amount to largely synonyms. And they won't help you too much.
Well, he was suggesting that if we find out about this, 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 and this, or any two of them, we'll know a lot more about that. And you're saying, yeah, he's right, because this is all synonymous talk, then he must be right. But yours? I'm sorry. It's all right. Yeah, go ahead.
Part of my problem is that if we define something as knowledge, and what this is to know, I my own question I have now is,
yeah.
if I see the sun and you see the sun,
yeah.
I mean, we both know that that's the sun.
Yeah.
But we might assume different things about it. Now, if we both have a commonly held truth, we say the only knowledge then was an image of the sun.
I thought
that was a hollow vehicle.
What could we say? We both, you know, as opposed to what is it we see? We see the realness. I mean, that doesn't necessarily assume, or that doesn't necessarily mean that we know it's there because two of us agree on
it. That must be my question. How do you prove it's true?
We're operating on shared assumptions to the extent that the assumptions encompass everyone else's assumptions. Then we call it true.
So Newtonian thought was true before we adopted Einsteinian thought. Like, both have together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say so. That is one argument. That's what somebody like Wayne Wu would argue.
So their range of applicabilities less than universal.
I think you could probably apply that to knowledge of the time you have to accept the exceptions of which you would hear. That is the fact that you can fit types of the knowledge
of
something that she can learn a theory through an experiment that you reproduce that you didn't have knowledge because you can prove it just through your theory and then involve the fact that you accept or not. I think that would be like the fact that the knowledge as opposed to
suppose
knowledge like Atlantis, which we know about it, and except it doesn't exist. That's a better matter.
That's the Cartesian split.
How do you know?
I'm sorry.
How do you know?
Well, that didn't exist.
Okay, well, then.
Suppose.
We know about it unless we were like that.
And you asked us the question, what do you think knowledge is and how do we come to it?
How does it happen that we are creatures that deal in knowing?
And you know,
what's
your discussion
saying?
So far has been at perhaps one level. I view knowledge as being holistic, multi-tiered.
Yeah.
And I think it does not begin with intellectualization. It begins with something perhaps much more primary, such
okay.
as a fetus.
Okay.
The fetus response to stimuli.
Okay.
How does it respond? It doesn't intellectualize.
Yeah, but how do you get
that
knowledge
that's certainly knowledge. That's the first step in knowledge. If we're talking about human beings, we're talking about the baby coming out, being born, coming into a world, and having a physical experience before an electrical experience. That's what I'm implying, that multi-tiered. We don't get into intellectualization until much later on.
But knowledge is what's called an intentional concept. It involves a person. A car doesn't know that its pistons are going up and down.
That's what I'm suggesting, though. It's developmental.
Does a fetus
know?
Let's sort of see if we can pull a few things together and draw a little bit more at it. Not all of you can see the sun, but those of you that can, you can look at the sky or something. I'm looking at the sun. Now, what's happening? What's happening according to the various stories you've got? Of some kind. Some kind of pattern. Well,
how do you interpret it? That's what I'd like to know. I can trace all that down. But where does knowledge come in? Where does the knowing, the reflective knowledge of that physical system come in?
Well, the knowledge of the circle is a recognition of the pattern.
How do you recognize it? What's recognition?
You have an image of circles before that you perceive.
How did you?
Something you recall. I compare.
What was the first image of the circle?
Well, you have to identify the first circle.
How would you do that?
Yeah.
Because you say the way that you recognize this circle is by previous circles that are already in your mind. See, that's where Plato got that from, too.
Yeah.
You've got, okay. I mean, if you take a simple life form, a really simple life form, it does have an ability to fit in.
Well, hold on. Let me cut this off. Just, I think there's a way to get right to it. I'm not aware of any of that stuff you're talking about. Pardon me?
No,
I am not experiencing myself as having any of those experiences that you're describing. I'm just standing here looking at the sun. And I see it out there. I don't have any aches in my head or, you know, this doesn't feel like a headache. I'm looking at the sun and I see it. I mean, I think that's the question that's... My sense of sense experience, at least primitively, is a lot more immediate than the story you're telling. I can't see you at all right now because there's this yellow blob right wherever I look. But
that's your sense experience.
Yeah, well, now there's a yellow blob out there, but well, it's even there when I close my eyes, so there's a sense in which it's not there. But maybe there is a sense. I mean, what is going on? I do have this yellow blob. It's right there. So I mean, my finger's going around it. happens, or it seems to be anyway. I'm not sure how far away it is. And whoever said something about circles, that was an interesting thing, this business of having an experience. How can you have an experience if you don't know what you're having an experience of? I'm not asking just you, I'm asking this.
Well, that's what happens when you see something novel that you perhaps have never seen, or put in a situation where you might not have seen something before. You receive the input, but you lack the interpretation. It doesn't mean anything. I guess it wouldn't become knowledge.
But how can you ever get knowledge if you don't have that previous set of equipment or resources to interpret things?
Well,
that's
what
goes.
No. Oh! Hey!
This is the problem that they have when they try to talk about how children learn. They don't know how.
Well, yeah, that is the problem.
Because it all goes back to when you're born and the original, you know, thought processes are developed. And that time period. And what do they say? You learn more in your first year than you learn the rest of your life.
Probably not enough. And that's why you're drawing on a corporate knowledge. Because your kid, I know what circle looks like if someone told me what circle. I'm just stupid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten that knowledge because someone sat down and said, this is what a circle looks like. And we're right. In that way, we still have to get the very first person way back down the line who says it is a circle. Okay, let's go. I'll tell everyone from now on.
But it looks like you have to have, you mind if I put it this way, it looks like you have to have the idea of a circle before you can see one. Well, one of the things I'm interested in pursuing, I mean, there's a lot going on here, and I don't want to bias the discussion. I mean, lots of directions come out of here that the history of philosophy, in fact, records. But let me just isolate one. One common story that some of you are adhering to, and you're in good company if you are, because it's a deep and rich story, is exactly this business of knowledge, ideas. It's interesting nobody used the word idea. Bust. Does anybody understand why nobody used the word idea? Well, that's... Oh, I see. Oh, okay. So, knowledge is expressed in ideas, or you have to know something even to have ideas?
An idea is something you get based on...
An idea is something you get?
Well,
something you... Like the measles, or...
Simple ideas, maybe.
Simple ideas.
Form the basis of all.
Is that an idea? I mean, am I dealing in ideas when I look at
them? Well, you have an
idea. No, you formulate an idea after
the... Well, what about yellow? Is that an idea?
Already used an idea.
I'm not sure. I'm sort of trying to use it more.
In the British empiricist sense, or are you using it in the
sort? Yeah, I think that's how...
My mother told me don't use words like that. I'm trying to use it in an ordinary sense. And see, I'm trying to see if the word idea means something. That's what I'm trying to see. Two people.
An
but maybe we have to be more careful.
But,
all right, okay.
An idea is formulated. You have to have some kind of fact or basis for formulating an idea.
A fact isn't an idea.
No.
If I know a fact, I don't have an idea.
An idea is more of an approximation.
All right.
To me,
idea
is pre-knowledge.
Okay. Idea is pre-knowledge. Okay.
When you say, I have an idea about this, how can we make it more specific?
Okay.
Where did you get your idea from?
Well, so an idea is... So idea means, it's like, as in, I've got an idea.
Yeah, you're...
This isn't knowledge yet, it's not even opinion yet, because it's just an idea in that sense. Yeah? All right, okay.
Tim, that isn't, what school is that?
I don't know.
Barnes &
Noble. Oh, okay. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, some of you are telling a story about knowledge coming from or being based on facts, data, maybe sense experience, stimuli. I don't know what kind of language you want to use about it, but stuff happening in the world that you're in that, as it were, impinges on you. And this is somehow how the knowing business gets going. Right? But there was this problem about how can you have an experience if you don't know what's it's an experience of.
Wouldn't some knowledge be instinctive?
Well,
like you know
give me an
example. But you don't have to have experienced it once already to know it's fine.
Ooh.
So wouldn't that be
Or maybe pain.
I might know it hurts.
Reaction, like all animals react to pain by trying to avoid it, moving away from it.
It hurts.
That's right. But they didn't, no one taught them that. It's instinctive.
But yeah, but a lot of them don't have a memory of pain afterward either.
How do we know that? How do we
know? I don't know. That's what people tell us.
No, but I mean, I'm serious. What would be the evidence for that?
You don't know about the reflex art.
Sometimes they'll jerk your hand away from something before the impulse has ever reached your brain. It's just an automatic thing. Your body remembered it. Like the cells in your spine, you've remembered it. You haven't had to conceptualize pain again.
But even, you said planarians before, but like, if you have a bunch of planarians, you stick a hot rod in there, they're going to avoid it. And if you take that hot rod out and leave the planarian for a couple of days, it's going to be all unhappy, and you put a hot rod back in, they're going to avoid it again.
Yeah.
It's going to be
a danger to themselves. It's going to be a threat. So the thermostat in my oven does that sort of thing too, doesn't it? Shuts the gas off. I mean, it curls up.
Yeah.
Well, look. It's time for the break. I want to be rigorous about this. We're taking a break now, and we'll come back, and we'll plunge back into this. But you'll get a sense of why we were talking about it. We're not going to go on just chatting till 9:45.
When do you
want
to start at the back?
I can get more. Yes, if you're missing something, let me know. Okay, if you're missing a handout, let me know. I'll get some. Yes, sir.
First of all, Zach, I have to go to a meeting.
Okay. Are you on the list here?
I am, but actually, I'm.
Whoops. Isn't that amazing? I didn't set it.
Is that what time you got up this morning?
No, I didn't set it or anything. I just.
You want to turn your thing off?
Oh, right. Did it looks like. I'm going to use ideas to refer to those things, that term. And here the claim is that there's something called sense experience, which you can have. And in fact, there are some ideas here. At least one version of this story wants to refer indeed to each sensory experience as an idea, a little one. And that you have these, and then somehow or other in you, you learn, and you come to have knowledge. So, for example, something, let's take an example that will come pretty close to what we wanted to talk about. At some point, you and a whole bunch of other human beings will be walking around saying that you know about triangles and that you know a bunch of things about them, including this business about the sum of the angles of the triangles at 180 degrees, right? Now, tell me what you would do if the following thing had happened when you were in 10th grade, or whatever grade you did triangles in. What if one of the more, well, either annoying or industrious fellow students of yours came into geometry class one Monday morning and said, "My friend and I spent the whole weekend cutting triangles out of cardboard, all sorts of different sizes and shapes of triangles we'd cut out of cardboard. You know, we used an X-Acto knife or something. And then we used a protractor and we measured the angles of them and added them up and all this stuff. And we're here to tell you, after this weekend of doing this, that of the 1,213 triangles we measured, the average of the sum of the angles of those triangles is 178.5 degrees. This is the average. So somebody's been putting us on. There's something wrong here. And we demand an explanation. You've been lying to us. This is some kind of, okay? Now, what's the problem here? What's the right thing to say to these two people who have...
Measuring them.
The conditions of the digital experiment.
So you suspect there's something wrong with their protractor?
Yeah.
Or there's something wrong with how they're proceeding to measure these. And why do you think so?
Because the triangle, by definition, you add up the angles.
By definition? Really?
No, without measuring. Well, I'm not... Doesn't it? Isn't it by definition?
Well, somebody had to define it. The person who defined it had to have a sense of experience.
These are flat. Let's say we know these are flat triangles.
I don't know if they would necessarily have had to ever seen a triangle. I don't know the history of mathematics or anything like that, but
sure
it could have been derived from something else, could it not?
Yeah. Probably is.
There's a lot of definitions involved. I mean,
okay.
What's an angle? What's the degree?
Okay.
I mean, there's
okay.
A lot of knowledge got to go into this before we can say that every triangle has a 180.
A lot of data?
Oh, I don't know if you can use the word knowledge. I would use the word definitions. I would say there'd be a lot of
That's
definitions
better.
That would be required before we could make sense of that type of statement.
Now, suppose we check the protractor. Against what, I'm not sure, but suppose we check the protractor against the Paris right angle or something. We check the protractor against the thing we know is a good right angle within the sensitivity of the protractor, and the protractor's fine. Now what do we say to them? Their protractor's fine. The measuring instrument's okay within limits. It's good to... No, it's good to 2/10 of a degree, so that can't be the problem. Now what's the problem? We know the protractor's all right.
And their eyes are...
Yeah.
It could just be human error in reading the measure.
No, we checked that out too, and on...
I say it's time to throw the theory out.
It's time to throw the theory out. All right, well, that's not bad. That's not bad.
So suppose they take all the...
Yeah? Well, they'd have no complaint, would they? Sorry? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. No, I see what you're saying. You're saying that you know there's something wrong here.
Maybe that 180 is...
How would you find out?
No, no, no. How would you find out what's the right answer to how many?
Well, can you ever get a perfect circle? I mean, these are all very ideal.
It's got to be.
Or, I mean, maybe it's not a triangle. A perfect triangle. Maybe it's not.
The issue is that it's a useful abstraction, and this is why the notion of making a distinction between fantasy and myth and knowledge is really incorrect.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's an accumulation of experience that's been passed on and has been turned into things that are learned from generation to generation.
When you say abstraction, do you think you're committing yourself to this idea? That this thing that's being talked about, triangle, is an idea about a thing which has in some sense been abstracted from experience. Does that tends to be what you mean when, what was that about? She's in the wrong class. She's in this class here? Oh, I see. All right, so abstraction does carry that kind of baggage with it.
Is that the same thing as interpretation? I mean, could we substitute interpretation?
Well, I don't know. All right, there's lots of possibilities, and we'll see about them. But one thing to say, which you've said in different ways, some of you, one thing to say, having checked out the protractor and their eyesight and all that stuff, the thing to say is, well, we have pretty good evidence here that you two haven't been measuring triangles. In other words, you were measuring triangle-like things or triangular things, but you weren't measuring real triangles. Real triangles.
So we could ask for their original triangles to be brought in.
Well, did they screw up somehow cutting them or something? There's a sense in which they perfectly well had triangles. I mean, everybody can recognize a triangular, cut, cut, cut. There's a triangular hunk of cardboard. But it might not be a real triangle.
So you're saying the only real triangle is something conceptual?
Well, I'm wondering about that. Although it's not me that's wondering about it, it's Plato.
Yeah.
A real triangle's angles add up to 180 degrees. There's a lot of imitation triangles around. Okay? There's a lot of imitation triangles around, and they're more or less reasonable facsimiles. Collingwood will give the example about real Wedgwood china or something. I mean, I can go down to the bay and get stuff that'll pass most people's ability to think. But someone will come along and say, I'm sorry, you've been had. This isn't real Wedgwood. This is an imitation. The claim here would be something that some of you were saying. A real triangle is not something you could hold, see, or measure at all. Why is that? Well, for one way to see that's right is to realize that a real triangle is a two-dimensional object. You can't see two-dimensional objects. In fact, it's made, in another sense, it's not even a two-dimensional object. It's made by the intersection of three one-dimensional objects. It's made out of lines, and lines are certainly invisible. A real triangle cannot be an object of sense or perception. You couldn't see a real triangle.
What about a real triangular prism?
Well, now that's a bunch of planes, isn't it? So it's now a three-dimensional object. Could you see a real triangle of prism? I guess not. Because a real triangular prism...
Wouldn't it have to be a triangle?
Oh, right.
Well, that's Zeno's problem, isn't it? How can I, why should a big stack of invisible things be visible? Or how many do I need before it gets visible? I guess the answer is no.
All visible objects are three-dimensional.
Some visible objects are three-dimensional.